Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Philippians chapter 3. Beginning in verse number 12. Thank you, Brother Hefner. That was a blessing. Philippians chapter 3. You ever get lost in the noise of life? I think coming out of the Christmas season, sometimes it's so busy. You get to pass the new year and everyone goes, Sometimes we get distracted because of the busyness of life and the grind. And you know, being able to stay focused is a mark of maturity. Remember that game we used to play as kids, Simon Says? And you have people following and you use that statement, Simon Says. And if you don't say Simon Says and someone follows the next command, then they're out. It's fun to play with kids because you can get them, you know. Start getting them hopping on one foot. Simon Says hop on one foot, you know. And then you say stop and they all stop. My boys, having young boys in the house, you always see this maturity of focus. We'll send the two little boys up to play, to clean the room. Jackson and Jared, you know, go clean your room. That's normally the command I give if I don't have something to give them at the moment, and I need them to, like, go do something productive. And so I say, hey, go clean your room. And they'll run up the stairs. And they start out well, right? The goal, put all the toys in the toy box, that sort of thing. But what happens is, halfway into it, they find a toy they hadn't seen in a while because it's been under the rubble. And they're like, oh, and they get distracted, don't they? They start playing, and you come up the stairs, and you look in, and the room's half clean. You can tell they did a good bit, and then they found that one toy and got distracted. You know, in the Christian life, we have to realize this. First, the Christian life is a battle. That's why in Timothy chapter 1 and verse, or 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. It's a dangerous thing to get distracted when you're in a battle. The Christian life is also a race, and we are running against the clock of time. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, let us run the race that is set before us. If we're going to be spiritually victorious in 2022, then we must be spiritually focused. And I've entitled this message, Focused on Following. Focused on Following. Let's look at the text this morning in verse number 12. Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Here's what he's saying there. In that verse, he's saying, listen, I want to attain, I want to apprehend, I want to grasp that which has already been grasped upon me, if you will, or attained by Christ. It's this idea. Paul wanted his life in reality to be all that Christ had made it in position. That all that Christ had done for him, all that Christ made available to him, he wanted the full fulfillment of that and experience of that in his daily living. And he realizes this, that he hasn't reached that mark. And he says, I follow after. If we're going to have a year before us, if we're going to have a spiritually victorious year in 2022, then we are going to have to be focused on following Christ. And our focus on following Christ is going to have to mirror, it's going to have to follow the example of Paul in these next few verses. Look at verse number 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless this time. Father, that you would give us the grace to rightly divide your word of truth. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would use this verse, not just today in our hearts, but that he would change us into the image of Christ, that we would take the truth of these verses and apply it to every day of this year before us. That at the end of 2022, we can say that we faithfully followed our Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we see And Paul's focused following is a simple principle. He says this, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it. The word count there has the idea to think or to calculate. Here's what Paul did. Paul calculated who he was. Now this should not be hard for us, but the sad reality is the only one who doesn't know that a fool is a fool is a fool himself. And so all of us can be tempted. We can all fall into the trap of not being honest in our calculations of ourselves. But Paul here, by inspiration, says, I've calculated, I've counted, if you will, not myself to have apprehended. The word apprehend has the idea to attain, to come upon. It has the idea, figuratively, to possess. He's saying this, I haven't seized upon all that I should be yet. He looks at himself and he calculates the fact that he does not resemble Jesus Christ as much as he should. Now, this is a simple truth, but yet it is an imperative to our spiritual success. This is the humility principle. This is every Christian, no matter how long you've been saved. Think about that for a moment. I don't care if you were saved when you were 5 years old and you're now 80 and you've been growing in Christ for 75 years and you've been faithful for 75 years. The truth of the matter is this. When we look at ourselves, no matter where we are in the progression of following the path of God's will, none of us have arrived. And all of us have a measure of growth that's needed. All of us need to be more like Christ. No matter how mature we are, no matter how spiritual we are, no matter how much of the Bible we know, we have to realize and accept that we have not arrived and there is always room for growth and there's always a step that can bring us closer to Christ. This self-evaluation of humility is proved not by our lips, but by our conviction to pursue Christ. That's important to understand. Oh, I think if I walked up to any person in this auditorium today and I said, hey, have you arrived spiritually? I doubt there's one person in this room would say, yes, I have. Do you see these Sunday school pens? Nobody would say that. All of us would verbally acknowledge that we have not arrived. But the question is not whether we verbally acknowledge that. The question is whether we pursue Christ. Because that is the determining factor. That is the revelation of our heart on whether we really believe we've arrived or not. The person who realizes that they need to be more conformed to Christ, the person that realizes they have a need of spiritual growth, will pursue Christ. But that person that's allowed arrogance to permeate their heart, and the person that's become self-reliant, and the person who's become self-confident, is the person that just dabbles in their pursuit, is inconsistent in their pursuit. Paul was an apostle. He was a spiritual leader to the Christians here at Philippi. Yet Paul saw himself still in the state of spiritual development. So if we're going to have a focused following, we have to follow this simple principle. The next thing we see is a singular passion. He says, but this one thing I do. I think this right here, this point, this foundational understanding of the Christian life is the very pit that most of us fall in and fail. You see, Paul did not say, these many things I try. He said, this one thing I do. Listen, if you're reading your Bible but you're not pursuing Christ, it's not really going to help you that much. If you're on your knees praying out of tradition or out of ritualism and you're not pursuing Christ, it's not really going to help you much. If you're coming to church and you come to all the services, which I hope you do, but you're not pursuing Christ, it's not going to help you much. Yes, there's tons of activities and there's tons of programs and there's so many things that we can be involved in, and many of them are good, but are we seeking them as an end? Or are we seeking them as a means to the end, which is what? Pursuing Christ. Paul said, this one thing I do. As Christians, we must be singular in our passion. What is this one thing? Well, we go back to verse number 10. He says, that I may know him. And Paul wanted to experience Jesus Christ. He wanted to have that experiential knowledge in every facet of the Christian life, whether it was the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, right? Or even the being conformed into Christ, right? That pressure that the potter's hands that pushes down on us and forms us and molds us, which many times is uncomfortable circumstances as we feel the pressure of life, which is really the God-ordained events that shape us into Jesus. Paul wanted to know Christ. And this is who he was following after in verse 12. But I follow after. What is that? He was following after being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ by knowing him and pursuing him. Our passion must be for God. It must be that which is supreme in our life. Our pursuit of God must be consuming. Our daily, constant practice of knowing God must be the consummation of our consecration. Every day. And this is why the apostle said, I die daily. And this is where the discipline of the Christian life gets difficult. And it's this. It's every day doing and pursuing Christ. Every day choosing to focus on Christ. To stay focused in our following, not looking to the left or the right, not taking our eyes off of Christ when we're in the midst of the storms like Peter, but keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ every day. This one thing I do. That's why Jesus Christ told us, not only in the Old Testament, the New Testament, when they asked him, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. This one thing I do, right? This one thing I do. A singular passion. If we're going to stay focused this year on following Christ, we're going to have a spiritual perspective. The next statement in the verses that we're looking at, he says this, forgetting those things which are behind. We have to choose to put aside the past. We have to choose to not allow the past to rob us of the present and the future. This is a spiritual perspective because the flesh and the devil love the past. Our eyes cannot be looking behind us at the same time be looking before us. What do we tell kids in sports? Now listen, I'm going to help you here for a moment. You may not be a sports person, but there's a few things you can say at any sporting event, right? That'll make people think around you, you know what you're talking about. One would be, bend the knees, all right? That just almost applies to every single sport, almost, all right? Or follow through. That's another one. Doesn't matter what it is. Every sport almost has a follow through, all right? Keep your eye on, right? Whatever it is. If it's a puck, a ball, right? Keep your eye on the ball, all right? People be like, oh, this person knows exactly what we're talking about here, right? But we do know this, right? We do know this. When someone in a sport takes their eye off the ball, they're distracted. You cannot be focused and looking behind you at the same time. You can't do that. Because we cannot look in two different directions. Now, there are some teachers, some elementary teachers that I was convinced could look in two different directions, all right? But they couldn't. They knew the wickedness of our hearts, all right, in the moment. And so we, spiritually speaking, are not to be looking at the past. In fact, the Bible tells us we're not even really supposed to take care or take thought on tomorrow. We're supposed to look at the day before us, and we're supposed to look at the day that's coming, that being Jesus Christ's return. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's our focus. What does Christ want me to do today in the present? And then is what I'm doing today, will it please him when he comes in the future? That is the perspective of the Christian that's walking and focused on following Christ. The beauty of the Christian life is that yesterday is under the blood. And today we have the privilege of starting with a clean slate. Boy, I love that about Christianity. I love the fact that my Savior can forgive me completely. And that I haven't messed up tomorrow yet. Boy, I mess up today a lot. But I've never messed up tomorrow. And by the grace of God, I can be victorious in my walk with Christ tomorrow. Every day, starting with a clean slate. If we ask his forgiveness. Defeat is found in the past, but delight, duty, and devotion are companions of the present. Let me say that again. Defeat is found in the past, but delight, duty, and devotion are companions of the present. Paul had much to forget, if you remember. He was a murderer. He had persecuted the church. No doubt, many of the Christians that he ministered among had suffered loss because of what he had done, either to them personally or to their family members. Paul had much to forget. In fact, that's why he called himself the least of all the apostles, because he didn't even get to the enjoyment of walking with Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. Jesus Christ had to minister and teach him personally for 3 years in the wilderness. And he considered himself an apostle that was born out of due time. Paul looked at himself and he had much to forget. And that's why he said, forgetting those things which are behind. But it's not just failure in the past that one has to forget. But we must forget the victories as well. Yesterday's victories will not win battles today. Michigan State knows that. Oh, come on. Didn't y'all watch any of the bowl games? If we bask in the victories of the past, then we will be absent in the fight of today. Think about that for a moment. There's a lot of people that want to sit and reminisce about the good old days. By the way, I've looked at the good old days. They weren't really good old days, all right? It's amazing how blinded we even become and how the story gets twisted about how good it was and how great the victory was of the victories of yesterday or yesteryear. And that is just the fallacy of the human mind. And if we stay there, if we park in the past victories or the past defeats, then we will not be present for the fight that God has for us today. We are called to focus on Christ today. We are called to pursue Christ today. To focus on today, then, is an imperative. It is imperative that we not focus on those things that are behind us. The question is this: where are you gazing this morning? Where is your mind? Is your heart and mind consumed with rehearsing the past? Or are you and I girding up the loins of our minds and focusing on what God has for us today? If we're going to be focused in our following, then we're going to have to follow this spiritual perspective. The next thing we're going to have to do if we're going to have a focused following of Christ is a strained pursuit. He says, "And reaching forth unto those things which are before." The words "reaching forth" is the Greek word to stretch forward, to strain. This word is pictured most appropriately, I think, by two different things. First would be the runner, who at the last moment reaches forward and stretches over the line. Another great, vivid picture of this training would be the Olympic deadlifter, where he grabs the bar and he yanks up on it and he gets to that place where the bar stops moving and his body starts shaking as he's resisting that gravity and that weight. And he turns red and you think, that guy's going to have an aneurysm right here in front of us. And he pulls and he pulls, and in that moment of strain, he locks it out. This is the idea of reaching forward. You know, no one ever said that serving God was going to be easy. No one ever said that pursuing God was going to be easy. In fact, most of the New Testament paints a completely different picture. If you will know Christ, if you will pursue Him, it will cost you everything. That's why in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." Just recently, I was watching a YouTube hunting video. And in the middle of the video, they threw in a commercial. I believe it was John Legend. He was singing a Christmas song. And I usually skip right past them. But in this scenario, there was a philosophy in that song that I thought, wow, what a wicked philosophy. And the song really was based around this idea: you deserve everything. You deserve everything. You see, we live in a culture today that doesn't believe in denying yourself anything. We live in a hedonistic idea that if I want it, I should get it, even if it costs someone else. Even if they have to steal money from someone else so I can have it, I should have it because I deserve everything. I deserve it all. And it's permeating and seeping into The hearts of Christians, when it comes to pursuing Christ, they think, well, I can pursue Christ and I can do whatever I want. That's not the message of the New Testament. Either we pursue Christ and it's consuming, or we're half-hearted. The Bible calls it spiritual adultery, where we have one foot in the world and our heart is divided between this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and Christ. And no man can serve two masters, the Bible says. In fact, if you and I are going to serve and follow Christ, it will cost you time and energy. In essence, it will cost you your life. If you will know Christ, you will have to be determined and disciplined. If you will know Christ, you and I will have to be committed and consistent in our desires for consecration. You will have to choose not to love this world and sin, but instead, by God's grace, His enablement, develop an appetite for that which God delights in. Boy, that's the big question, right? The big question is this: is God happy with my life? Does God delight in how I'm living? Right, this goes back to who I'm living for and how I'm pursuing Christ. If I'm pursuing Christ, then I don't want to do anything that would discourage my Savior. I wouldn't want to do anything that He does not delight in. I would not want to do anything that He's not pleased with. I would not want to do anything that would hinder my love for Him. Anything that would distract me from being in a place of blessing. If we're going to have a focused following, we must have a strained pursuit. The last thing we see in this passage is, if we're going to have a focused following, we must pursue a supreme prize. He says there in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark. The word mark here has the idea of the goal or the target. The prize was specifically talking about an award that was given in the public games, which would have been the Olympic Games of that time. And Paul intertwines this illustration of sports and the Olympic Games, running, fighting, all of these things were interwoven for us to be able to completely understand how God views the engagement of the Christian life. When you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, this is another verse that speaks to this truth. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. It doesn't mean that there's only one Christian that's going to get the prize. There's only one type of Christian that gets the prize, and that's the Christian who's faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's the faithful Christian. It's the Christian who's disciplined. It's the Christian who stays focused on following Christ, doesn't take his eyes off of Christ, chooses every day to die to self and deny himself, and lives in his life and expends his energy and his days in knowing Jesus Christ. Paul says, I press toward the mark. He says, I press towards the prize. What was that prize? Knowing Christ. Apprehending, right, that which he has already been apprehended of Christ. Realizing and experiencing all that God has done for me, all that God offers to me, realizing and experiencing that in my daily walk with Christ. It's there. It's available to us. And that's the prize, is becoming more like Christ. Taking a step, being more conformed. The prize is knowing Christ, walking with the Savior as we pilgrimage through this life. The prize is doing the will of God and hearing well done when we stand before the one who has loved our soul from eternity past. The prize is the glory of heaven and the splendor of the divine. Not that we earn our way to heaven. We don't believe that. We believe salvation is by grace through faith. But realize this, there's coming a day where how we serve Christ will be judged, and we will be rewarded according to our faithfulness. And how sweet that will be to be able to lay at the feet of the one who loved us crowns and jewels to demonstrate our love for Him. The song says, sometimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear, We're tempted to complain, to murmur, and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over, in God's eternal day. At times the sky seems dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problems. Just go to him in prayer. Life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past will cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. That day's coming when we don't have to run anymore, when the pursuit of Christ will be something that will be easy. But that's not today. Today it takes a disciplined devotion. Today it takes a determined discipline in our lives. Today it takes someone who's going to focus on following Christ. But one day it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Oh, I can tell you, friend, if we're going to have a spiritually victorious year before us, we're going to have to focus on following Christ. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Father, I pray this morning that you would help us to be determined, to be disciplined in our devotion of thee. Before I finish my prayer, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's someone here this morning. And really, when we talk about pursuing Christ, the first step in having a relationship with Christ is knowing him as your personal Savior. If there's never been a time and a place in your life where you realized that you were a sinner and you couldn't earn your way to heaven, there's never been a time in a place in your life where you realize that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, that only what he's done in his death, burial, and resurrection could secure for you heaven and forgiveness and reconciliation with the Father. If there's never been a time where you realize that and called out to Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, to be your Savior, there's never been a time and place in your life where that has happened. The Bible calls that new birth, right? Being born again. If you've never been born again, then friend, that's the first step in pursuing a relationship with Christ. Maybe you sit there this morning and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure that heaven's my home. I'm not sure that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not sure there's ever been a time and place in my life when I was born into the family of God, born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus. And I'm concerned about it. Listen, I'd love to pray for you. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. Even if I knew your name, I wouldn't call you out. I just want to pray anonymously for you in this moment that God will continue to work in your heart. But maybe you sit there this morning, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you'd slip your hand up in the privacy of this moment and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anyone like that this morning that I could pray for? Just slip your hand up and put it down. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Christian, then, can I ask you this? What are you gazing on? What consumes your heart? Are you focused on following Christ? This one thing I do. You say, oh, but God's called me to do this. My occupation is that. I'm studying this. God's called me to be that. Yeah, he has. He may have led you in an occupation, but the whole point of that leading is the goal beyond it, and that's what? Following Christ. To know him. To impact this world for him. Maybe sit here this morning and you consider last year and you consider both the victories and the defeats and you look into the year before us, and maybe there's some Christians here this morning and you say, Pastor, this morning the Holy Spirit worked in my heart. I need to focus on following Christ. Now, I know that's a general question, but you know the specificity of the area that God worked in your heart. But you'd say with the uplifted hand, I needed this message to start this year. Would you let me pray for you? I see those hands. Just slip them up and put them down. Slip them up, put them down across the auditorium. Hey, listen, it's a precious thing for God to speak to your heart. Don't leave this building without doing business with Him. This old-fashioned altar's open. You can come up here if you want to do business with Him here. You can do business with God in your seat. But I encourage you, if God spoke to your heart about something specific, do not leave this room without talking to Him. Father, I pray that You continue to work in our hearts, that this year before us would be a year that we focused on following You. Be with these that have raised their hands, the specific areas of their life that You've allowed the Holy Spirit to convict them and tug on their hearts about. Father, I pray that You would allow us to take a step this morning in being singular in our passion for Thee. We love You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. If you would stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist begins to play. Altar is open this morning if you need to do business with Him. Folks are coming. Why don't you come? He said, oh, I can pray right here in my seat. I know you can. But I can tell you this, that for me in my life, coming to an old-fashioned altar, making a decision, just sticks a little more. And I'll tell you, if there's ever a year where we need spiritual decisions to stick, it's this year. What is that area? What is that area that's either taking your focus off of Christ, that tripped you up this year, that distracted you from being all that Christ wants you to be? Why don't you give that area to Christ this morning? Let's close by singing a verse and chorus of the hymn this morning, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.